Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda McShann. It's the 4th of July. Happy 4th.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Good evening, happy 4th of July out there. This is the 230th year we've been celebrating. Huntington Beach had a wonderful parade today, and tonight at Van Ness Park, the fireworks will begin at 9 o'clock. Be safe out there. You know, independence is very important, but the best independence that we can set up is for our youth out here. You know, this program is for the youth, and everything that we can instruct them, direct them, teach them has to come from the stories that we tell. You know, intellect comes from storytelling. We all think that we move with our brain in our conscious state. But no, we move in our subconscious state. And in that subconscious state, we have pre-written scripts that have been with us from time and time and time. It's time for us to kind of like rewrite those scripts. And you know what my motto is. And you know what the attitude here is on Waking Up with Linda McShann. We have some interesting guests coming on today. We're going to be speaking about abuse. How to recognize it. Do you know if you're in it and how to get out of it? We'll have Ms. Vara Beckham coming on around 7:30, 7:45. So get ready for that. This is going to be some interesting stuff. But let's keep on with our attitudes and do what we have to do. You know, life is a stretch and we can't let anything stop us.
You know, every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice and easy. But there's just one thing, you see. We never, ever do nothing nice and easy. We always do it nice and rough. So we're going to take the beginning of this song and do it easy. But then we're going to do the finish rough, the way we do Proud Mary. Rolling, rolling, rolling on the river. Listen to the story now. Left a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day. And I never lost one minute of sleep, and I was worried about the way the things might have been. They win.
Rolling
on a river. on the good side of the city until I hit the ride on the riverboat queen.
So the
big wheel keep on turning. Ooh, the primary keep on burning. And we're rolling,
rolling,
rolling, yeah.
Rolling,
rolling on the river.
Rolling on the river.
Very rolling,
rolling.
You have to keep moving out there no matter what. You must be ready so that you don't have to get ready. And you know, we have a new segment in. We ask that you email us here at Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan at lmacnetwork@gmail.com with all your requests and your questions. We normally read those questions at the end, but this is very important because we're going to have some juicy stuff going on here. And I'm going to read this email that came in from Anthony. And Anthony wanted to know, how do I register for community college and school? He's coming out of high school. So first thing, Anthony, I'll share with you is that you select your school of choice. Go online and put your application in now. It doesn't make sense to even go to the campus because they're going to send you back because everything is done online. And then he wanted to know how would he select his classes and his class load. Well, after you register, then you have a number in, and you'll go over and you'll meet with a counselor as soon as school starts. You want to set that up immediately. And it depends on how you feel. You can carry a full load, or you can start in slow. I went back. I'm what you call a non-traditional student, so I started in slow, and then I worked my way up. Because your counselors will give you things that's going to overload you, and you have to be the decision maker of how much of that you want to do. It's no rush out there. And after you set that appointment up, and get your class load, then you begin to mingle and mix and get real nosy on that campus and find out where each and every department is, and you start visiting. Do not listen to your classmates. Everybody has a different opinion. You want to meet people and let them know what you're about on your own. So, Anthony, thank you for emailing in and wanting to know that. The lines are open. We like requests, information, questions about anything. But use the email, lmacknetwork@gmail.com, so that we can answer this for you. We also have a statement, stay in touch, but we'll talk about that later on. And as Tina said, that is our attitude here. You must continue to roll no matter what you're going through out there. And adults out there, my vow and my mission is everything that I have gone through and still going through, I'm going to pass this on to the youth. Because you see, we are the storytellers, and you increase your intellect through stories. So let's keep talking to them, okay?
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address in the torn up town, no postcode envy.
But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns trash in the hotel room. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair,
and we'll never be royal.
Royal.
It's no running our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
You can call me Queen Bee,
and baby I'll rule, I'll rule.
Let me live that fantasy.
My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows
that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money.
But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold.
We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal.
Royal.
It's no running our blood.
Especially with our youth. We have a call out. We're looking for mentors. We're looking for big sisters, big brothers. We're setting up workshops, and we're going from makeup to mass media. Anything that we can provide for the youth out here so that they can become their own entrepreneurs, their own little businesses, and keep them busy. We're also asking for you employers out there that have summer jobs available for the youth that aren't in school, to give us a call or email us. That email again is lmacknetwork@gmail.com. Also, you can call in. Our lines are open, 917-889-8015. We have to get busy. We are getting busy. We're looking for volunteers, mentors, teachers, artists, musicians. Whatever you do, we need you to support us with assisting these youth. And come on in. At times, you may have to pay it forward. But keep in mind, you receive nothing if you give nothing. And if you keep a closed fist on the other side, you get nothing into that fist also. So let's keep it open. Let's have open minds. Let's have open hearts. And let's get out and really, really support our youth. We're going to make some changes here. We're getting ready to change the subconsciousness. And those old scripts that have been written, they have to go. Seems like we have a caller on the line. Let's see who this is. Hello, you're calling Waking Up with Linda Maxine. Who's on the line, please?
Hello, Linda. This is Vera. Welcome.
Hello, Vera Beckham. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Happy 4th of July.
Yes, happy Independence Day.
Yes, right. Independence from everything and especially a whole lot of abuse. Am I correct?
You are correct.
All right. Well, we are so happy to have you. I've already informed the listeners that you would be coming on talking about abuse, recognizing it, being in it, getting out of it. Any way you have to take it, we are ready.
Okay. Well, the easiest way for me to talk about it is to talk about my own experiences with it. A short version of my story is that a little over a year ago, I realized that I was in an abusive relationship. I had been in that relationship for 5.5 years, and I had lived with that person for 3 years. And one day, the light bulb went on for me, and I spent about a week in a revelation moment where I just became aware of all the ways in the last 5.5 years that my partner had been abusive towards me, or a lot of different ways, and it went all the way back to the very beginning. So I immediately sought support from friends of mine and was able to leave that relationship. It took me about a month in total to actually move my things out of the apartment that we shared. And it took a lot of reliance on people that I really trusted to help me get my mind straight and my emotions straight. And so in part of the process of really acknowledging that the relationship that I had been in before that one was also abusive, I really wanted to think about how do I get to the bottom of whatever it is in me that is allowing me to be in these relationships and just to attract these people to myself who are abusive. Why do I accept it, and why do I allow myself to be in these relationships? So finding websites online, going to support groups, going to counseling, and reading books, I realized that I grew up in an abusive home, and I had kind of known that growing up, but I didn't really fully understand the devastation of that experience, the powerful, powerful abuse that I grew up with every day, until recently. And it really started to hit home when I started to talk to family members and neighbors who had known me and had also been exposed to my parents and the ways that I had. And they were the ones who confirmed and said to me that they had experienced my parents as being abusive. And so I really had to think about my own experiences and what I wasn't remembering, because I have years of my life that I just don't remember. And so in reflecting and actually really calling myself to be present and not allowing myself to avoid the uncomfortable emotions that I had, I started to process the pain of my childhood that I had completely shut off from. I was numb for many years. Things would happen around me. People I cared about would die, and I did not cry about it. I was very numb. And so in finally being in touch with my emotions and really fighting to stay in touch with my emotions is when I really came to an understanding that both of my parents were creating a hostile environment for me to live in. And so at the age of 29, I have finally gotten to the point where I realized, and I'm completely at liberty to remove myself from the situation with my parents as well, because I completely understand that I do not deserve to be undermined, to be belittled by anybody, even my parents. And that was a really, really tough but very powerful transition that I made recently in terms of establishing my own dignity and really believing and acting from a place of dignity and that I deserve it in all interactions. And so that has been that's a short version of my journey. I also, as part of the process of digging deep and asking myself where is it that I'm permitting these things, I really started to uncover some memories about being sexually abused by a pastor around the age of 8. And that's something that I'm still working through because it's such an intense emotional space that I've been focusing on finding safe spaces for myself to be or the safest possible places for myself to be where I can be supported emotionally to be able to be where I'm at and work through my process and not avoid it, because a lot of people tend to avoid their own emotional experiences. And so when I'm going through my own process, it's very hard for them to support me. So I've had to be very mindful about who I'm relying on for support. And so one of the things that I've come to recently is that I have been diagnosed by a psychiatrist as having PTSD, depression, and anxiety. And
I don't want to cut you off right there, but that word that you used, and I need to allow our listeners to know who's on the line. Listeners, we're on the line with Waking Up with Linda McShann and Ms. Valerie Bauckham. We're talking about abuse here, and she's starting a story off with her own personal abuse. So she's walked in her own shoes, so she actually knows what she's talking about. This is some good stuff. Would you please continue, Ms. Bauckham?
Yeah, sure. So PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder, and the thing that floors me about this diagnosis is that post-traumatic stress disorder is what military combatants, veterans, people who are returning from war, this is what they have. They are being diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And so to really understand that that is a diagnosis I have and that I have post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of the environments that I grew up in, it's astounding to me. And so this is why I really wanted to bring this topic to your radio show, because as a child, I knew something was wrong, but I didn't. So many people around me were also in the same type of situation, and so we just thought, like, you know, this is normal. But I knew something was wrong, but I did not know how to get the help I needed because I didn't know terms to look up. I didn't know how to talk to people outside of my family about it. I didn't know how to talk to school officials about what was going on in my home because, you know, on the outside it looks like, oh, you know, they're taking care of their child, her needs are met, and yet in the home it was very, very challenging because the abuse was verbal, psychological, emotional, and it's had a huge impact on me, and I've had to work very hard not to implode, not to just completely shut down because I was shut down for so many years. And so now the big thing has been to talk about it. And so I will kind of leave it there, you know, and we can talk about anything. I've got a couple of words that I think are important to bring up, and I probably will bring them up as we talk. But I wanted to just give you, Linda, some material to work with in terms of what I wanted to bring to the table.
Well, I am all ears here. I'm listening. My mind is moving around. And when you mentioned that, you know, you really have to get in touch with your emotions, but what I admire about you is that you're able to reach out for support groups and counseling and ask for help. But in the same note, when this was happening, when you were younger, before you got to that point, you had nowhere to go. And after you went to the power to make that transition, and now things are actually really, really coming in. And I sort of like zoned in on that because I can't remember a lot of things between certain ages, and now you really have me thinking. I don't think I went through that in that manner, but something is missing there. And now I will try to dig a little deeper now that you brought it up. Sexual abuse part, I've dealt with many young adults that have, you know, have the same situation. And that's something that's really, really hard to deal with. I did not experience that, but I know so many people that have. And it leaves a mark on you for life. And if they don't reach out, get the support, go to the counseling and talk about it, as you're doing here, it's just going to stay there, and it's going to ride there, and it's going to eat there. And it has blockage on basically everything that we do, and especially when there's relationships, you know, to get started. That trust is not there. It's hard to relax. It just really, really messes a person up for life. And it all starts in the childhood. And I'm glad that you're bringing it up. That's why it is imperative that we pay attention to our children, and especially the younger children and the ones that can't speak. They can let you know in their own little way something is not right. And we have to be alert and susceptible enough to see that. So that means that we have to dig a little bit deeper, because you can recognize it if you watch that young child long enough. They will tell you the story. And I'm saying that to say I have an example, because we do child care. And if I'm with a child and I notice that every time I step near them, that they kind of like jump back, then I know something is happening. The child is not the victim, but there's argument and there's fighting and there's disagreement that's going on, and that child is watching that. And on several occasions I've noticed it, but you have to be very careful when you go to the parent and let them know that you know. So my way of doing it would be, Mommy, let me ask you something. Can you do me a favor? When you and Dad are having your disagreements, can you step into the other room away from the baby? Because I know, and that's letting them know, I know you guys are arguing, and this child is showing me this. I can't get in your business and tell you exactly what to do, but this is the best way that I can put it, because I'm observing this child. And if I go near her, or if I, and with the actions, she's letting me know something, especially if, you know, in the beginning this was not happening. So children in their own little way can let you know, but you have to have that adult that's watching and observing in order to help you out. I admire you anyway, Vara Becklin, and you know, even though you had all of this going, you never stopped. And what I admire so much about you is that anything that you know, like some people will move forward and they'll just step over you. You're not that type of person. You raise up that leg and you pull them on with you in any way that you can, and you don't take no for an answer. So I'm listening, you know, to the statements, you know, how you're moving through this and what you have discovered. But I have no doubt in my mind that it's going to all clear up, and I know that this is not the last time that you will be speaking of it. We'll probably see you out there on the circuits, you know, getting it out there, you know, working with groups, setting up groups. And it's something, you know, we're working on workshops here. And, of course, I'm going to always call on you for support. And once that comes into the curriculum, we'd like to have you head that up, because that's very, very important. And it can be done cross-gender, you know, not just with young girls, but with all the children that are there, the young ladies and the young men, because everybody goes to abuse. It's just not for the young girls. You have to watch your sons now.
Yes,
and
that's very important.
Yeah, listening, but by you really saying what you're saying, and I wanted to put the call out to the listeners, because we're asking for mentors and we're asking for big sisters and big brothers. But what I didn't say, and this will be a part of the process, and people will come on board because it's about our youth, but they must be able to have a clearance, because keep in mind, we're working with children, and everyone that is around any child must be cleared. So if they cannot be fingerprinted and they cannot be cleared, we do not want their service. So this is strict, 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 and it's done for a reason, because most people that can get cleared, that can have that clearance, if there's any violent or any abusive ways, this stuff is picked out. So you never know, you know, smiling faces or what they are. But I have a lot of admiration for you. Let me ask you, your parents, yeah. I mean, you're dealing with them now.
Minimally,
okay. Mm-hmm. So do you feel that at one point, sometimes, I'm not saying when, that you will sit down and let them know exactly how you feel about it, unemotional, but not per se it's going to help you, but it's going to help them more, because, you know, a lot of times we do things and we're not even aware that we're doing them. So you will bring it to their attention eventually?
Okay.
What this has done?
I have already begun that process with my mom.
Okay.
My father is harder because he and I have never had a reciprocal conversation, like, established in terms of we've never sat down and really talked about our lives and ourselves. So we don't have that kind of just, like, regular conversation. It's usually him telling me what to do and me listening and either agreeing or disagreeing or not saying anything. And so that is a much harder, like, conversation to have. That is going to happen at some point. When that happens, I don't know. But I hear what you're saying, because I have begun that with my mom, but I have not gone extensively into it. And part of that is because I'm still processing all the different ways that impacted my life. And the other thing is that when I am around my parents, I'm very accommodating, so I'm much more interested in staying safe around them, because it's something that I learned. It's a survival strategy that I picked up, and so I still am not able to be 100% convicted and authentic in my conversations with my parents, because I anticipate them tearing me down or interrupting me. And so right now that's not hasn't happened yet. I'll bridge this into two words that I thought of while you were talking about being able to have relationships and trusting and relaxing. And the two words I thought about were hypervigilance and hypersensitivity. And that has to do with safety. And for me, it's specifically about emotional safety. Because in relationships, one of the things that I've had to work with myself on is I'm like this with both of my parents. I'm hypervigilant. I'm constantly looking at, what am I doing? How are they responding? What am I doing? How are they responding? Is this going to, you know, cause them to second guess me? Is this going to cause them to attack me in any way? And can I choose another route? Can I say something else that won't cause them to respond that way? And so that is a result of being manipulated in the past. Being hypervigilant is a huge part for me of my experience with post-traumatic stress disorder, in which if something brings up a memory, it can be with any person, and they remind me of something that my parents or one of my old partners has done, it just sets me off, and I'm super, like, I have so much anxiety. I have to breathe. I have to relax. I have to change what I'm thinking about. You know, it's a lot of work. And so in order to not have to be like that, in order to not have to expend that much energy working through that and just staying at a place of peace, calm, and being able to work through my process in a more relaxed environment, I have made the choice to not be around my parents for a while so that I can simply heal and calm myself and work with myself. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, you were talking about sexual abuse in children, and they actually call it child sexual abuse, and the acronym for it is CSA. Like, there's actually an acronym for it. But I remember I actually went to the LA Public Library downtown, and I just kind of went wherever I felt guided to go, and I ended up in the children's book section, and I found this little section with books about childhood sexual abuse, and I thought that they were amazing because one of the books actually gave some signs to look for in children that to let you know whether or not to think about if a child has been sexually assaulted. And I thought it was beautiful also because they actually gave examples of ways to bring it up with the child. And so I thought that was amazing. And you were talking about your business, and you were talking about working with children and the way that you approach them, the parents. And what I was thinking about was, if a child is responding in that manner and they have, you know, been exposed to arguing, the likelihood is that child is so sensitive to you as an adult, then there probably is verbal abuse in those arguments. It's not just like an argument, a disagreement, but there's probably verbal abuse there.
Oh, no, it's verbal. So, it's definitely not good. No, definitely.
Right. So what I was thinking about was a way you could bring that in without necessarily confronting them is, like, if you have a packet that you give when they first sign up, one of the things you can have is a brochure about abuse in the home and how it affects the child. And you could very easily be like, oh, this is just something that we include.
Oh,
you know,
we include that. Yeah. They have to sign a parent form. Whenever you're in child care, you have to put those rules and regulations out there, because if you ever have to report them, it's like they didn't know. So you have to give them as many pamphlets as you can, have discussions with them. I do not like to take in a child unless I visit their home, because that home visit tells me a lot about that child and the environment. And that came about as a teacher, you know, through the different programs, the state and the government programs. I would insist on home visits, because that lets me know if Johnny is sitting in my class sleeping at story time, why is he sleeping? But if I go to his home and see that his bed is behind the closet door, then I can deal with Johnny a little bit differently. And yes, there are packages that are given to parents. They know that, see, a provider is mandated to report anything that doesn't seem right. And it doesn't have to be a child up under my jurisdiction. It can be a child anywhere. There's a mandate there. So I go into the parent, because in a way I'm letting them know, I know what's happening in your home, and if this child keeps backing up from me, you're going to get reported. So I just outright come and tell them, you know, your parents are sort of like your family, and they entrust you to take care of that little bundle of joy. So you have to kind of like really put it out there. You cannot go around the bush with them, because they need to know that if it's not right, you will be visited and handcuffed, and you won't have this child anymore, because then if I don't do it that way, then I'm in trouble. So, yeah, they have pamphlets, and that makes a good idea. But when you're dealing with a life and a young life, and especially a child that cannot speak for themselves, you just have to step up to the plate and be the judge and jury and let them know, I'm no nonsense. I'm going to be watching the baby. Or give you another example. You know, people try to hide things, and I'm so glad to hear that you're talking with your neighbors and the persons that you grew up around, and they can validate and kind of help you, you know, kind of go through all of this. And like you said, all of you guys was in the same boat. Well, it's pretty good, because when I was coming up, you know, it wasn't anything for us to go sliding across the floor. And it wasn't a such thing as a child abuse at that time, because if there had been a law about child abuse, my mother would have been in the pen, excuse my French, but they did not play, okay? So for you to be able to have someone to validate it, you know, that kind of like eases a little a little clearance from you that's helping you clear better. But as you're talking and I'm hearing, there's a lot of youth out there. I mean, what you know and what you feel and what you've gone through, you will be very, very instrumental in working around children, say just for evaluation purposes. Say, okay, I'll give you an example. Say we start workshops. It doesn't matter how old they are, but you could be the individual that would just sit up there and observe those children, because you will be able to pick out that abused child. That is sad that you have to go through it to have such a mission, but I'm going to tell you, like you always share with me, that is one of your missions, because you can spot it. You know, like we say, birds know the way of birds when they fly in the sky, okay? There's no air traffic controller up there. Snakes know the way of snakes. So if you've gone through it, you can see it, and you will be very useful in workshops, in facilities, any place that they're young adults, in anything, events. We do a lot of events. We deal with a lot of, I guess you would say, sometimes I want to call them, you know, they're singers, they're dancers, they're entertainers, they're industry, but there are some issues there. And a person like you would be able to stand in that room and point each and every one of them out, because, as you know, you cannot deal with people all the same way, but when we're in production and things have to get done, sometimes you have to get a little harsh. But if we know that we got Johnny over here, they got a big issue, then we know how to go in him, whip him a little bit differently. So I'm going to ask for your assistance again. In these events, I think I'd like to have you work those carpets with me. I'm putting it out there over there so everybody can hear it, and I'm going to make you commit, because you would be the perfect person. Not only that, you would know how to approach that child. Do you know? Whereas, say, a person, I wouldn't know how to approach a child that had come out of that type of situation. I probably was abused and didn't know it, but it helped me. It wasn't a verbal abuse, and it wasn't a physical abuse. I would say it was more of a mental abuse. Give you one example, which was a form of abuse. You know, when, say, about 11 years old, my grandmother took me to the hospital, and she took me up on the OB ward. And I heard those women screaming. And I said, Mama, what? Why are they screaming like that? She said, they're having babies. Okay? Do I have any children? Huh? So subconsciously, I never forgot those screams. Do you see how ours was worked a different way?
Yes,
but that's not all to it, but that's part of it. Because what I heard in that hospital from those women, I said, No, it frightened me to death. And I was young. But so they worked on us abusively, mentally, in another way, you know, appearing but still doing that mind thing. So I commend you. And again, I'm always for parents. I'm always for parents, because I always say that if it wasn't for the parents, we wouldn't be here. And it's like that's a real touchy situation, and especially, you know, with your personality is different than my personality. And like you said, with all the post-traumatic stress disorder and how you know, have to go when certain buttons are pushed. When certain buttons are pushed with me, I go just the opposite. I come to you. You know, instead of pulling back or getting silent, my button goes off and I come right to you. I sort of like charge at you, because we're going to get this straight now. So that's the way my reaction is. So I cannot say, Vara, sit them down and talk to them, or take them to dinner and just let them have it. Because while you're letting them have it, you might be getting reactions still from having flashbacks. So I understand what you're saying. I know that you're going to get to them because you're that type of lady. But when you're going to get to them, all I'm saying is, just from a parent child, or the gratitude that we owe to our parents, no matter how they are, get to it eventually. Because what you don't want it to do is stay with you and ride on the post-traumatic stress you're already carrying. You don't want it to stack on you. And you and I know that if we don't clear, that it remains there. It has to be clear, and it has to be complete. So I am, like, loving what you're saying and the young adults out there, because, you know, when we get 15, 16, our parents can't tell us nothing. Okay, I know mine couldn't tell me anything. So I deal with a lot of young ladies in that age frame, because you're right at that point. But how my mother broke me up, because, like I said, they weren't verbally abusive. They weren't physically abusive. They were mental abusive. So when I said this kitchen is not big enough for the both of us, my mom went and got me an apartment. Okay? Gave me the keys and said, here's your kitchen. Well, when I got in there was no furniture. There was no food. There was nothing. So I decided from that little move that I could make that kitchen work for both of us until it was time for me to go. See, they worked on us mentally, and they left the choice up to us, never shutting us down, because we really didn't have anything to converse about, really, you know, as far as voicing our opinion on anything, because everything was pretty cut and dry. But it was a mental abuse, and you're bringing it up for me. So, oh, yes, I was abused as a child. It was a mental abuse. And then following there, you still attract those type of people in your life. So I get very upset when somebody try to play mind games with me. I just lose it, because it's like you're underestimating me and dealing, you know, you're messing with my character here. Same thing as you do when you get in those situations. So life as a child and whatever we're brought up with, it stays with us until we make the change. I don't know if I mentioned to you about the life social scripts. You know about the scripts out there, and you know what Shank says about intelligence. You know, it's the stories that stick with us. Well, just like we remember the stories that people tell us quicker than just giving us some information, we also remember our stories. Isn't that remarkable? So what do we do about that as being persons of intellect, you know, or being intelligent, or if you just want to use that word, how do we differentiate and change that script? Because we move from our subconscious. We don't move from our conscious. We move from our subconscious. That brain is a remarkable piece of machinery, and it kind of like works the way it works, and we think we control it, but we don't control it. It has its own little map and directives there, and it does its job, and it doesn't let anything interfere with it. We have to be aware of what's happening. So you said you had the PTSD, the post-traumatic stress disorder, the same as the military. I know a little bit about it. I know how it, what kind of effects it can give a person. I never, in your presence, ever noticed any type of pullback or fearlessness. But then we also wear our masks too. So what's happening or what's showing on the outside could be a whole new thing of what's going on the inside. Well, I commend you, because now you're letting that inside come out, and it has, that sponge has to be squeezed. It has to go. And I hope that the listeners out there and the young adults are listening to this, because, you know, at certain ages we can be real stubborn, okay? And stubborn to the point where we don't realize that we're really making our own selves ill. Because the person that we're upset with, or the person that, I don't want to use the word blame, the person that did this particular act, they're not even thinking anything about it. And most of the time, they're not even aware of what they did. Isn't that something?
You know, I think that it's really interesting, because what I've noticed is that The people who do it, they don't think about it unless you pull away from them. When you pull away and when mm-hmm. you start to take actions independent of mm-hmm. what they may think of you, that is when you start to really feel the pull that they have on you, or you start to see them respond to the fact that you are no longer under their control. When you start to do that is when you really start to see that they, even if they don't know, sometimes they do, and on some level they absolutely do, because they're acting, they're behaving, their choices that they're making have to do directly with how it's going to influence you. And so that's been the hardest part, has been to really, like, yes, understand the humanity of the people who are abusing you, but also really seeing how horrible it is, because yes, it's a pattern of behavior, but it's a pattern of behavior that is entrenched in their behavior, because if it wasn't entrenched, it wouldn't be a pattern and it wouldn't be abuse. Now, someone saying something to you hurtful and then apologizing and it never happening again, that's not abuse. But if someone is continually doing the same thing or the same set of things or the same type of things and then apologizing and then doing it again, or you have a moment of peace in the relationship and then it happens again, that's abuse. And so really understanding that you cannot control the other person and that you have no responsibility for controlling the other person or for influencing their behavior, and completely separating yourself from feeling like you're responsible for them or to them is very important, because to feel like you're responsible for something, for the well-being or the feeling like you're responsible for the person who is abusing you is called Stockholm Syndrome, in which
yes.
you actually have affection and you feel concern and like you know that they need you in some way.
Right.
That's Stockholm Syndrome. And so I had to realize that I had that in order to really begin to understand the ways that I was forgiving behavior that was hostile and unhealthy for me to accept, right?
Mm.
And so you're
okay.
asking about – sorry.
No, go on. I'm
so you're
listening.
Asking about how it is that we can work to change our brains and our emotions. And the biggest thing is, in terms of dealing with the subconscious mind, it's visualization. It's visuals. It's imagery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about visualizing yourself in as being happy and visualizing yourself as being whole, joyful, and actually trying to feel what that feels like. If you can feel being happy, if you can feel what it's like to be excited about your life, that is a very important visual to have that emotion attached to. And when you have those two things, you actually are telling the universe that that is where you want to go, because what you focus on expands. And so it's really hard coming out of an abusive relationship or realizing that you are in abusive relationships, like plural, you have to balance that. You have to be willing to look at the devastation that has been caused in your life, because that's the only way you're going to get through it. But you also have to focus on the state of being that you want to have in order to magnetize the energy field around you to pull you in a different direction and towards resources that will help you to manifest excitement, joy, and happiness in your life.
Totally.
And so visualizing. That was a whole lot, huh? It was like a mouthful.
I know. I love it because I'm keying into it, because you seem like you're describing me. You know what you're talking about. I'm laughing over here because
okay.
you're absolutely correct. You are what you put out there, and you will attract. And like you say, you know, I've been in environments, and they've been so dark, and people have been so negative. And then also you have to look at the karmatic thing there, because we use the word karma, but it's out there, and you have to recognize it for what it is. But when you find yourself in a situation, I used to just shake my head and put my hand on my hip and say, you know what? I say these people wouldn't be happy if you shot them in the butt with a happy shot. You understand where I'm going with that? So when you say you're not responsible. No, you're only responsible for your own actions. And like you say, to realize that you're not responsible really for their happiness. All you can do is be an example there. But you're absolutely correct about your surroundings, what you attract. And then sometimes, you know, like when we're in bad marriages, you know, we get married and you know, well, I'm just going to stick with him because, you know, he's the father of my kids or whatever. You know, it's been a lot of that. My mother didn't play that. She just put us on our back and stepped, okay? So that was her way of dealing with it. So that was a good thing because, you know, apples don't fall too far from the tree, so that blood was good for me. So I never really... I've been in abusive situations, you know, physical and verbal, but I've, you know, been able to catch them very quickly and get out of them because it's not a good feeling. And one thing that I can say, and you know, like you say, when you're around, you're trying to make sure more so for your safety, you know, because that uneasiness is there. Are they going to come this way? It's horrible when you go home, and I haven't been, and you don't know what type of mood your mate is going to be in. And on your way home, you're trying to anticipate what is it going to be like when you walk through the door. Well, that's not a good feeling because you've been out there taking care of your daily duties or whatever you've been doing, and to have to be, you know, going into your home, the place that's supposed to be peaceful, relaxing, and you're going home, and to have that on your mind, it's not a good feeling. And maybe, and another thing, if there's fear there, fear will freeze you. If you're frightened of anyone, it won't work because then they have that total control. Until you let it be known that that fear is there and let it be known that it's not there anymore, it just freezes you. You cannot do anything. You're traumatized. And you're sticking there. You don't know what to do. You can't go to your family because you're trying to pretend that everything is all right. And especially if they told you that crap wasn't going to work anyway, you really don't want to go talk to them. I'm talking about relationships here. So you stay in it until you're out. You can talk about it. He does this to me or she does this to me. But when you get tired of it, take it from someone that's walked in those shoes, you will walk away from it. And the people that you've been complaining to, they'll hear about it after you're gone, okay? Because it's not necessary for us to put ourselves through any type of abusive situations, whether it's mental, physical, or verbal. I mean, I've had mates that I didn't know what my name was. I've been every name but what my name was, okay? So now, if you do not approach me correctly, it's going to be a problem because I'm not having that, okay? And we can make how the kids say, take it to the street, okay? But you learn through your mistakes, and then you take those mistakes and you help others as you're doing with us today, and I'm extending an invitation to you to take it out there further because you have that eagle eye, and you will pick up on stuff that others won't pick up on, and it takes all of us to move together to help and support this youth. Because they don't know where do they go? They don't want to tell anybody either. They have abusive boyfriends. I see them on campus. You know, I'm yelling and screaming. I might walk up and say, why in the hell are you yelling at her? Why are you yelling at her? And they might all turn around and want to jump me, but I, you know, it's like, no. If you need to have a discussion with her, you need to take it around the corner.
Right.
Because I'm not going to walk by here and hear you raising your voice in that manner to this lady.
Right.
And I beat up
intimidation.
Boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
intimidation is a power play.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, and people will do that to you. They'll rise up. And I used to, you know, when you raise your voice to get the volume because you think that you're frightening somebody. But I'll tell them I beat up babies and boys and girls. So what do you want to do? But you're not going to talk to her in my presence like that. And I don't even know who she is. And young lady,
you see,
you shouldn't allow it.
Right, but see, that's where it goes into the dire importance of acknowledging abuse in the home. Because if you don't, if you're not able to understand that the person who is accepting that from their partner experienced that in the home or witnessed that in the home, then you're not going to understand why someone would permit themselves to be in that type of relationship. So if you were to talk to somebody and you were to ask them about how they grew up, I guarantee you they will tell you that they have either directly experienced abuse from one of their parents or guardians or family members, or they were a witness to it on a regular basis. And so really thinking about how normalized abuse is, and also thinking about the ways that we need to begin to hold parents and adults accountable for their abusive behavior as adults as well, right? And standing up and saying something, because as children, like what we're talking about, children should not ever need to confront their parents about abuse. It should be other adults in that child's life to stand up to the parents and say, this is not okay. You need to get help. That needs to happen. That is what really needs to start to happen. People need to start standing up, because if adults do not start calling other adults out, then children are going to continue to experience it and they're going to continue the cycle, you know? And so in talking about trusting oneself in terms of beginning to the process of leaving a relationship once you realize that it's abusive, it's important to understand that you have to find your happiness and you have to trust what makes you happy. Because the biggest thing in abuse, and I mean coming from experiencing something called gaslighting, which is the undermining of trust in yourself, like the biggest thing about gaslighting is you don't trust yourself. And I'm like leaving that term and I'm letting you all, like, look it up. You can look it up at the website for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. It's thehotline.org. You know, that's a great place to go to look at the definition of gaslighting, because gaslighting really easily leads to Stockholm Syndrome. And so you have to really begin to value yourself, and you really have to begin to trust yourself again. And that can be hard, so it's important to connect with people who you trust. And if you don't have anybody around you, start to reach out to these domestic violence resource places, the hotlines, the domestic violence centers, because they really have worked with people who are leaving domestic violence relationships, and they're very supportive. Not that they're not perfect, so you can try different ones, but you do have to, and you have to know that you're worth it. And the other thing, the most important thing in terms of moving forward, is you have to decide that you write your own stories. You have to really look at your stories that you have, and then you have to think about the stories you want to write about your life. One of the things that I like to do, I like to think about what do I want to be said about me at my eulogy? What are the things that I want people to be able to say about me that I have accomplished, that I've traveled, you know, that I've gone and I've interacted and uplifted people? You know, this is really important to me. I want to, you know, when I'm dying on my deathbed, I want to be surrounded by people who love and appreciate me for who I am, not some mask, you know, not some, like, distorted image of me, but in my complexity. I want to be surrounded by people who love and appreciate me. And so that's the way that I move, you know. So thinking about the stories that you want to write, like, yes, you have the stories that you came from, and those are important, but just as important are the original stories that you are writing about your own life, and really understanding, like, really understanding that you have the authority. You have the authority in your own life to do whatever it is that you want to do, and taking that authority back from every single person that you have learned to give it to. That is where, you know, revolution really happens, is when we as individuals take responsibility for every action we take. And if that means that we realize that we're in an abusive relationship, we take our time and methodically remove ourselves from those relationships, and we insist on finding relationships in which we are valued. And it may be hard, because default is to be around people who don't value us, and it may even include not dealing with our family. And that is something that has been really hard for me to come to terms with, but I met a woman who was like 50 the other day, and she gave me an hour of upliftment, encouragement, and support. And she told me it took her 13 years to heal. I don't think it's going to take me that long to heal.
Wow.
But I, like, yeah, because she was by herself. She completely left her family. You know, she was off on her own. She was trying to do, she was trying it out with different therapists, and certain ones didn't work. You know, it was very hard for her, but she got there. And so it was really powerful to meet her and to have her give that to me for an hour, and for her to really validate me and how far I've come in only a year, you know. And so it's very important that we surround ourselves with good people and that we are clear about, hey, I need emotional support. You know, I need you to, I really need to be validated emotionally. You don't have to agree. You don't have to, but I just need you to not ignore how I feel and just be present with me as I process this, because the processing is healing in and of itself. You don't have to do anything to fix it, just to allow it to come through and come out of your body. You just have to express it, and that is the biggest part of healing, is to be able to express your emotions in a non-judgmental space.
Wow, and you, yeah. I see the Band-Aids and all the gauze coming off now, because you are definitely healing yourself and pushing that forward. And I'm requesting of you, Miss Vira Bachman, because you know you're in that mind and spirit, and you know how the earth works and how it moves, is to stick very closely with us, as you've been doing, so that we can really get out and ride that ship across the sea of suffering to these youth out here, you know, because your specialty is looking at one thing and mine is at the other, and we surround ourselves with people, as you say, of substance, people that take responsibility, people that know how to stay focused and be present at all times, not only for themselves but for others. People that recognize the importance of inner happiness, because that shines from in out, and not relying on anyone or anything to create that happiness for them. It has to come from within. Once they get the definition of happiness, once they understand how it can feel and what it feels like, then they're moving forward. And that's for the young adults and anything that they do out there. You, as you say, you write your own script, and we're talking about the societal scripts that have already been placed here, that we, persons like yourself and many, many more, are out here trying to rewrite. And if we don't tell the stories to get it clear, then it's a lost cause out there. And you're right. It is the adult's place to step up to protect that child. And it's so ironic, and I'll tell you another story. You know, we remember stories, if I may. I had a neighbor, and she had a beautiful daughter, and she was about 4 at that time. And every day I would hear that child getting her mother going off on her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, excuse me. I said, you know, I need to ask you, why is it every day that she comes home that she's really in trouble? And so her mother told me that every time she picked her up from school, that she had a note where the child had been disruptive and you know. And so the mom was reading that note. I said, hold it. I said, do me a favor. I said, you know, you have a very beautiful daughter here, and she was beautiful. I said, she has this. You know, she was just a gorgeous child. I said, do me a favor and see if this will work for you, if you have time. I said, take her and sign her in, leave, and show back up in about an hour. Don't let them know you're coming back. Just return. I said, and when you return, stand and observe that classroom without them knowing that you're there. I said, and then tell me what you find out. So she did, and it ended up that it wasn't the regular teacher. It was the assistant substitute, the assistant, and the kids wasn't paying her no attention. And not only was her daughter getting notes, so was all the other kids, because they were dealing with the observation and the report of the assistant teacher. That is what the problem was, because when you're assistant, you don't go as far in depth as that main instructor. So assistant mm-hmm. job, she might have had the knowledge, and she might not have had the knowledge. She might still have been going through her training, so she would not know how to separate, you know, not paying attention to being disorderly. Because mm-hmm. they weren't paying attention to her because she wasn't strong enough to control them. If mm-hmm. you can't control your classroom, they will control you. So mm-hmm. when you say adults speak up, you're absolutely correct, because I was a part of that. And mm-hmm. I will never forget that. And she and I are friends at this time. And she mm-hmm. sometimes brings up the story herself. So you're mm-hmm. right. As adults, we do have to intervene. And we do have to protect the children. I've been in markets, and God, it was maybe about 10 years ago, and I thought I was going to have to fight. It was a holiday. It was a Thanksgiving Eve, and you know how crowded markets are, right? Mm-hmm. And I was coming down the aisle, and there's so many people, and I noticed this child sitting in the basket, and I looked for a parent, and I didn't see an adult around her. So I waited. Mm-hmm. I just stood back and I waited. And when the mother walked up, I said, ma'am, I said, excuse me, but do you know you cannot leave your child alone like that? Mm-hmm. So she says, oh, I say, anybody could come and grab her, and mm-hmm. you would never know she was gone. So she mm-hmm. said, well, no. Oh, she got a big mouth. She would be screaming. I say, not if she got a stock sucker. Stuff down in it, she wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I told her, and she kind of looked at me, and mm-hmm. I told her, I said, so, you know, we can talk about it. We can step outside and talk about it. I said, but, you know, I am mandated to report you. I say, because that is child
negligence.
And that is child abuse.
Yes, it is.
I says, and you do not walk away from your child like that. So I'm going to, so she was kind of, you know, she wasn't a nice person, and she was kind of rough and tough, but I did not allow that to back me up, because, okay, if I can approach you, then I can deal with you, okay? And if I can't deal with you, there's other ways of handling you. But, yeah, she left her in the basket. It was 1,000 people in that store. And I said, where? I looked, and she must have been about maybe 3. So she really couldn't protect herself.
Right.
You know, exactly. So you're right. And that's a motto. That's a slogan. Maybe we should have some T-shirts made and put them on the market. You know, adults step up and protect the children. Adults intervene. Because the child has no voice, and they go through so much, and especially sexual abuse, because a pedophile makes you guilty, and he comes at you like he's your friend, and he relaxes you, and he tells you don't tell the secret, okay? And sometimes that pedophilia can be going on for years.
Exactly.
And even, you know, incestant type stuff, you know, fathers with their own. But when they start, they are very clever at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was telling that lady, and so is somebody that want to kidnap this child.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she has a big mouth. I say, you won't hear if she got a sock stuffed in it.
Right.
And she kind of looked.
Yes.
You know I'm paying.
Yeah,
go on.
It's an issue because there's a current campaign going on about human trafficking, and I'm glad that it's happening, because human trafficking has been happening for at least 2 decades, and I'm just wow, you guys are so late. But the good thing is, like, that's an excellent example of someone who is prepared to kidnap children. They already have their technique. They already know what to do so that the child is not crying. You know what I mean? So you have to really understand the reality that we live in. And, like, one of my issues with the campaign for human trafficking is that it acts as if abuse is not happening in right here at home, and that human trafficking is something that, you know, it's kind of new. And it's part of a system, and it is part of a system. But to focus on human trafficking and abduction and physical imprisonment as if we do not have abuse in our homes, where we are literally, like you were talking about, the psychosomatic imprisonment of I cannot go anywhere because I'm afraid. Like, for children to be afraid of their parents is not, like, and to be perpetually afraid of their parents so much so that they are debilitated, right? Like, depression to me is about being debilitated. It's about feeling hopeless and on some level, you know, and not being able to release this feeling, because it's about freedom. It's about freedom and support to be who you are, right? And if your freedom is impeded upon in any way by any person, it's a problem. It's not okay, and it's not healthy. And so really thinking about the fact that we really need to start holding ourselves accountable in our own home and in our family's homes, in our friends' homes, this is where it really is going to start. We've got to start being uncomfortable. We've got to start putting ourselves in the crossfire and saying, hey, you know what? I love myself. I love you. I love this person. I love you so much. I love you too much to allow for you all to be in this abusive situation. And so I'm going to intervene. I'm going to risk that you may not like me because I love you more than I give a shit about the mask that we have between each other. And if there is something that is the matter here, I'm going to speak about it. And if you are not receptive to it, and even if you are, like, maybe you need to intervention. You need support. And so I'm going to get help for you, because some people who are abusers and in abusive relationships, they don't know how to ask for help because they don't even realize the devastation of what they're in. And so at that point, like, will and, like, respecting someone's free will, at this point, it's so convoluted that calling in help is going to be more beneficial, you know. And yeah. I realize that that's an issue because I don't have total agreement with, like, the way that the public support system is set up. But something is better than nothing, because just allowing that situation or those situations to continue, to me, it's inexcusable. Like, I'm at the point where if someone I know knows somebody who's in an abusive relationship, or someone I know is being abused, like, I will step in. And it's not the best for me because I've got PTSD and it's very triggering. But most people don't say anything. And so we've really got to start stepping up and saying, like, hey, you know, and you can research it too. You know, you can research things. You can even call the hotlines yourself as someone who knows somebody or someone who's witnessing, and you can get people to help you, you know, walk you through the steps of what to do. So there are quite a few options. There's a lot of support out there. And it's really important to start researching abuse, because we're exposed to it every day, and we've just learned to become numb to it. It's a huge issue, and we really start having to deal with it. We really need to start dealing with it. Yeah.
Well, and a lot of that comes from, back again, our childhood. We went through it. We got through it, but it was a different sign, a different time. It was done differently. And as when you grow up as adults and that basic training kicks in, you understand it. But what about the young adult who does not understand it? Or what about the woman that's in the abusive relationship? And, you know, I laugh all the time because men, and I love them to death, but, you know, when they go out and do wrong, the first thing they do is come through the door and start an argument. That's mental manipulation there, okay?
Right.
Now, they've been out there doing everything up under the sun, but they come in and create an argument, and that's
right.
Like, that's something that has gone on through since the beginning of time. And the same thing with parents. Some parents are guilty because maybe they cannot give that child what they would like to give that child, so it comes out in different ways. And then a lot of parents that are abusive to their children really see it as, I'm protecting them, or I'm giving, you know, I'm just preparing them. And strictness is okay to a certain point, but I understand that most of children and adults that come from real strict families are the wildest things out there. Because it's like just, you know, letting that cat out. And, you know, it's a lot of mice hanging around. So they are the worst children. I was semi-strict, but like I said, it was a mental. I don't really call it abuse. I said it was a mental training because we were told we could do anything that we wanted to do. Within reason, we had guidelines. Like if they say be in at 2 by 2, I don't care where you were going to be in that door at 2 o'clock or you would have to deal with it. So my mother would tell us, look, I am not going to have no child of mine drinking in the street and hanging out. If you want to drink, you will drink right here at home. So we were grown, so we went to the beach, and we had the great pleasure of being able to party in the beach house. And so we went and got booze, and we got us all that good stuff, you know. We had marijuana. We had booze. We were just, like, living it up. So we got a visit, a quick surprise, and it was from my mother. And she walked in there, and she says, oh, she said, you guys are really partying, huh? Oh, you're smoking this stuff? Oh, you're getting high? And by then, you know, we were speechless because we were busted, right? My mother went and got something from somewhere. And till this day, I will never know. She's no longer here. And she sat there in that living room and rolled marijuana cigarettes until the sun came up and just kept us smoking one after the other. She said, oh, you want to get high? And to this day, I'm really not fond of marijuana because I always remember that illness that was with me for about a month. I was sick as a very sick, okay, woozy for about a month behind all of that marijuana. So they had ways of, like, you know, you can do whatever you want to do, but be you know, kind of make your choices right here because you're going to get some effects from these causes that you're putting out there. So coming up with that in mind, I agree with you with intervening and stepping in. You might lose a friend, and you might get into a real big argument when you step into that family business, but I can guarantee you that you'll feel better about yourself when you walk away, and you'll understand the persons that you have decided to, surround yourself with, because, yes, we do have to intervene with anything, with not only the children, with any injustice that's going on out there.
Yeah. And you know what? I have to say that while this may not always happen, but if the child, in this specific instance that we're talking about, if the child witnesses you intervening and saying something, that is also very powerful. It's also very powerful for the child or the children to witness another adult addressing whoever their abuser is and saying, you know, this is an issue. That is really, really powerful. So I just wanted to put that out there.
I agree, and I just want to tell the listeners that you are listening to Verbatim. We're talking about abuse. We're talking about childhood abuse, how it can affect you throughout your life, about intervening when we see that injustice coming through or when we see any type of abuse, and especially that's happening to a child. And you're listening to Waking Up with Linda McShann. As I say, Darren, I tell everybody, it's just not to get up out the bed. It's to get those brain cells moving and the blood running and to think about it so that we can rewrite this script that we carry in our subconscious that we function from. This has been an exciting, what can I say? It's like I'm just like sitting here with a smile on my face. I'm very happy for you because I see another support person that can step in and intervene while you're going through your healing process along with doing it. And I will say this, once you're in that arena to get to work and to let this information be out there, it's your healing is just going to come immediately, because you and I know about paying it forward. And for those of us who don't really know what that means, it means you have to give what you already know and share. Pay it forward. It's not all about the money all the time. It's about the heart. And if you pay it forward with your heart, you're going to reap some real big bank accounts, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, you're going
Absolutely.
To reap a large, you'll be, have a large amount of goodies stored away in your account. And I am so glad that you're open, you're sharing, it's personal, it's out there, and you and I know that it's only the heartfelt information that gets to the person, because we don't keep it real here. You know, I can go with this and that, but I know only one way, and that's real. And talking with you, I will, once we end and the show is over with, now I'm going to have to go jot down some reflections and try to figure out where some of this stuff is. I pretty much have a handle on it, but then again, that's also part of my mask. So once we can remove the mask, and I'm so glad that you mentioned mask, because Stephanie Haynes came on last night, and she took us through exercises with removal of the mask. And I kind of like shared with her of, you know, different exercises and activities that I had previously participated in to have to make that presentation of that mask. And while speaking of it, I was learning a lot about myself. So, you know, we have some interesting things called going on here with Waking Up with Linda McShann, and I have some wonderful people that I have surrounded myself with. And you know what the next question is going to be. Will you come back with us soon and share more? I mean, we want to move with you through the process. And also, as I said, I'm putting a call out to you to work with us in the workshops, because this is part of the curriculum. And it will be very, very helpful for you to move with us in the in the interviewing of the young adults that will be coming in, because we need that. So are you with us?
Yes.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. That is it. So is there, you know, with your book and your company, is it Mugwort and Crow? Is that correct?
Mugwort and Crow.
What is that company? I know it's natural. It's all about the natural and the spiritual. Can you kind of like give refresh us on that, what your company does?
Okay. Mugwort and Crow is really centered on personal empowerment through developing awareness of one's personal connection to the spirit world. And the way we start with that is through connecting with the natural world and developing one's own spiritual faculties in connecting with the natural world. Because once we're able to learn to trust our feelings through having positive relationships with nature, it becomes easier for us to understand what a positive relationship is, including one with ourselves and with our own internal spirit. And so the main avenue that I have used for that has been working with gemstones and making jewelry for people to support people in whatever current process they're going through. Another thing that I also do is I instruct people and coach them through connecting with plants and trees. And so in really learning how to use these natural tools to help us heal ourselves, that is the premise for Mugwort and Crow.
Well, I am glad that the stones are there, and when I make my order for about a triple-layered necklace, that will totally connect me in touch with the naturistic aspects and moving into the spiritual with the spirit, because we know that it is all one, I will be putting my order in with you to go. I'm just smiling over here. I am so appreciative of you and your sharing and the information and speaking about your personal and just coming very authentic and heartfelt, because you know the heart is what does everything. And each day that I pray to, you know, soften those hard hearts and to unfreeze the frozen ones and to kind of like open up the closed ones. That is my daily prayer. And in doing that, I also am kind of like connecting with myself, because I cannot request of anyone else anything that I'm not doing. So when we're working on ourselves, when we're making ourselves and changing and building better character to put out, because everything comes from in to out and put out in the universe, as you say, it spreads. And while it's spreading, it's attracting the same type of person. And it's not a bad thing if you attract maybe something that's a little bit different, because you have to have that balance. You have to recognize and deal with the ugly, as I say, in order to appreciate the good. So when you place yourself in the middle of it spiritually and dealing with nature and going through your own healing process, it makes for a better society. So here we go. We're off. We're starting Mudworth and Crow. We're going with the healing process. We're going to be stepping up and speaking out and intervening any type of injustice in any way, and especially abuse toward our children and any other adults. The adults sometimes call that abuse upon themselves, because just as you say, if they come from an abusive environment, they think it's okay. And unless that change is there, you think it's okay. It's just a normal way of things happening. You know, my dad threw the plate at my mom, so I'm going to throw the plate at him. It's just something that we do, and how we come up. And unless you get out of your own backyard, as they say, and go visit around the corner,
travel.
That is all that you're going to know.
Yes.
Even
if
you
it's
are
15
very,
minutes away, yes.
That's what I'm saying, across the street, around the corner. And you are very fortunate, because you have persons that are in your life at this time that can kind of like help you understand the story. So it's not as bad as it could be. Can you imagine?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you have the storytellers there. And that's why it is so important that we all tell the story, and especially to our youth, no matter what the topic is, tell the darn story. Because they're not going to relate to authoritarian.
Yes.
They're not going to relate to trying
it
to.
No, it means nothing.
It means nothing. Nothing to them, and most of the time they're going to go the opposite way. So you have to be able to tell that story. I will be contacting you this week, keeping you abreast on which direction we're going with the curriculum that will be for the workshops. And it's not something that is just going to happen for the summer months. It will be set up maybe where it's done on the weekends, so that when young adults are back in school, it won't interfere with the flow. And there will be strict requirements. The policies are going to be strict. And we are calling out for, as I say, mentors, big sisters, big brothers, people with specialties. And the last thing that I would say about this particular adventure and events and activities that we are planning for the youth, if you cannot be cleared by the Department of Justice, don't even call. Because keep in mind, we're working with young adults, and we need to know who and what is up around these children, okay? It is a very, very sensitive area, and we have to have the strict safety rules. So as we're moving along and putting it out, that is something that we will keep, even with the youth events that are coming up. I think there was one yesterday that happened with a lot of there's a lot of youth entertainment. It's in some entertaining type, you know, singers, dancers, actors. That was the Rising Star yesterday. Today is Friday. I'm sorry. It will happen Saturday, tomorrow. And that's going to be at the Sheraton in Universal City. And then my main baby, which is the Omni, which I am recruiting you for your assistance to help me out on that carpet, will happen in September. And that's something that is it's very entertaining, and the persons that head it up, they're really there to empower the young adults. No exploitation. It's real serious. But it's a great thing to be a part of, and it's a great thing to see how the young adults treat each other because they're learning. So I would like to have you come aboard and kind of like assist us with making everything flow, and also to put my order in for my triple necklace, because when I get off of this show, I'm going to have to go back and do some reflecting. And that I will contribute to you and your openness, heart, your sharingness, and I'm going to say, I love you with much appreciation, and continue to heal. And if there's anything that I can assist you with, as you've always assisted me, you know, as far as going through my reinventing, because you're part of that. You are part of that. And to hear how you were functioning and having all of those things happening on the inside is remarkable. You wore a very, very good mask, young lady. And I have to say that that shows strength, courage, and great character. Because you know how to kick in some doors and get some things moving. And when that is why you're name to me, and I will let everybody know, is Firecracker with a big F. Miss Vara Bacham, the CEO for Mardwick and Crow, and also sharing with us this evening, listeners, about abuse, recognizing it, getting out of it, even knowing if you're in it, and when did it start, how did it start, and how can you clear it and make sure that you never have that abuse in your life, and make sure that no one else has abuse in their life. Vara, I'm going to say thank you. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you,
Linda. It has been so great.
Yes.
And listeners, if you thought you were going to hear some music tonight, you didn't hear it, because I told you we had something good coming on. So I will say good night, and I will be speaking with you in the middle of the week. And, oh, Vara, could you please give us your email? How can one contact you before I say goodbye?
Okay, sure. The email address, my email address is mugordandcrow@gmail.com.
At Gmail. Okay, got it. And when you take your orders, because I know how busy you can get with your jewelry, what is your turnaround time? Say if I needed to... I have some young ladies that we might have to gift. If I needed 10, what is the time frame of that? How soon? How many days in advance do I need to let you know?
You should let me know 14 days in advance.
14
For an
days,
order of
okay.
10, you should let me know 14 days in advance.
Okay. Okie dokie. That is what I need to know. I will be speaking with you. Listening to Waking Up with Linda McShann is an awakening for each and every one of us, myself, you out there, and tell everybody that you know. I will be speaking with you, Vara. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
Linda.
And have a lovely evening, and keep on rolling. Do that stretch, young lady.
Thank you. I love you, Linda. Thank you so much.
I love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Some interesting things, you know, and especially that is important for you to seek out for support, find support groups, counselors, and begin that healing process, especially if this abuse is coming from childhood. We touched on sexual abuse and what just abuse in itself can do to your mind, your body, what it can take you through. And to be sure to get in touch with the abuse hotlines, the domestic hotlines, to just have no fears out there. You must step out and make that change. You know, I know sometimes fear can freeze us, but you have to shake it off. You're listening to Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan, and tomorrow night, you know, we will wind you down, which is Saturday night, and relax you. And on Sunday, we have some good community information coming through. We're going to be talking about the athletic children out there. We'll have Mr. Robert Flores come on from Audubon Soccer Academy and talk with us again. We'll have a gentleman to come on and let us know where all the great parks are for private activities and just a lot of good stuff. You know, we do a lot of stuff here. We want you to actually wake up. But ladies out there, I'm going to play this song, and I want you to listen to these words and get this type of attitude.
Walking on a wire, run.
I love you, and I'll see you real soon.